Today, we're continuing our mailbag segment with some more real-life scenarios to talk through. Today, we're going to talk about transitioning Moonlight coverage into private practice, credits and discounts for new grads, and whether or not it makes sense for you to shop around if you've already earned a free tail. Stay tuned. Welcome to Malpractice Insights, the show dedicated to helping healthcare professionals understand medical malpractice insurance and providing you with the solutions you need so that you can get back to the work of practicing good medicine. My name is Jennifer Wiggins, CEO of Aegis Malpractice Solutions, and I'm so glad you've joined us today. All right, let's jump in. The first question in the mailbag today says, hello, I am finishing up my fellowship in North Carolina and I have an opportunity to do some moonlighting here, so I need coverage for that. When I'm done with my moonlighting, I plan to open a private practice in Florida. Can I carry my insurance with me when I move? How does it work to go from moonlighting to private practice? Okay, so this is a pretty common scenario. So you're doing fellowship or residency, you have an opportunity to do a little side gig, and so you do need to secure malpractice insurance for that work. Now, it'll be pretty inexpensive. It'll be a part-time, maximum part-time policy, and you'll only need it just to cover you for the little amount that you're working. But when you finish training, if you're going to go into private practice, it is possible for you to simply switch that policy and have it continue covering you going forward at your new practice. Now, this particular person is going from two different states, from North Carolina to Florida. So depending on the carrier that you are with, if the insurance carrier can cover both states, it's really easy to do this. You simply just adjust the policy. And really, the only thing you're changing is the hours that you're going to be working, because you're probably already going to be rated in the specialty that you're trained under. And that's probably the specialty you'll be doing in a private practice. So all they'll have to do is just modify the rate to move it from a maximum part-time policy to a full-time policy, and then they'll just change the state. So from North Carolina to Florida, and then if they need to change the limits or anything else to make sure that the coverage is appropriate for the new area, it's really easy to do this. So if you have a claims-made policy, you can actually just continue the coverage and have the carrier continue your prior acts, which we've talked about before. So it's pretty simple to do that. If you have an occurrence policy, same thing, really easy to convert the policy. The key thing for you to know is just to make sure that whatever carrier you decide to go with for your moonlighting policy, you probably need to be thinking ahead to what you're doing next to see if they can cover you in the next location as well. So pretty easy to cover that, simply moving it from one state to another and modifying the rate. Okay, second question in our mailbag today. It says, I am a physician in Houston, Texas, and I have been doing academic research work since finishing my fellowship in 2020. I am planning on opening a private practice next year, and I understand that there are discounts for the first year out. Can you please explain how this works? Okay, so first I will explain how the credits work for new grads, but then I want to address this specific provider because there are some exceptions to the rule. So for the most part, if you are just starting out after finishing residency or fellowship, you will qualify for a new to practice credit with pretty much any carrier you select. Those discounts are really nice. They're like 50, sometimes 60% off of the normal premium. So your first year out, you're going to pay like half of what you would normally. Your second year out, that credit goes down. Usually it goes to like a 30% credit. And then your third year out, it'll move to like a 15% credit. So it's a stair step down. As you get established and get your patients rolling, your premium will gradually go back to the standard rate, but it's a nice way to kind of kick things off and save some money day one. The problem with this particular scenario is this is a doctor who technically finished training in 2020, and she's been doing academic work since 2020. So this one's a little bit of a gray area because when the carriers go to calculate those new to practice credits, they're looking at the date that you finished training, whether that's residency or fellowship training. So even if you simply pivoted and went into academic work, or if you went into like a hospital setting, but you weren't necessarily in private practice, that still counts as time in practice. And so if it's been more than 3 years since your residency or fellowship ended, then you might not qualify for any of those new to practice credits anymore. In this particular situation, I think she said she finished in 2020. So she might be able to pick up like the tail end of that third year credit, but it just depends on how those dates line up. And some carriers are a little more flexible. Some carriers are really particular about those dates. So again, you just have to explain your situation, provide the information to the underwriters, and they'll let you know what credits you'll be eligible for. But keep that in mind. So you get those benefits as long as you're starting right away after finishing up your training. Okay, our last question in the mailbag today says, our group has been with the same malpractice carrier for 20 years. Our senior doctor does not want to switch insurance because he has earned his free tail. But the rest of us want to look around because our rates continue to go up. What are our options? Okay, so another fairly common scenario. You've got a group practice with doctors of various tenures at the practice, and at least one of them has already earned a free tail. Chances are this is a doctor who's a little bit older and is probably nearing retirement, and they're excited to finally earn that free tail when they hang up their coat. But it does make it a little more tricky when you're looking at shopping around. So here are the options. Option one. You can simply move everybody else to a new carrier and let the other doctor stay with the current carrier and earn out that free tail and stay put. Now, he might not like that. Your administrator might not like to split the risk, but that is an option. So you can convert everybody else and leave the one doctor with the old carrier, and that's absolutely possible to do. The other thing to consider, and oftentimes this is what's overlooked, is that most of the time doctors are talking about, I've earned my free tail or I'm going to earn my free tail because they're within like a year or two of retiring and they don't want to lose the tail by switching insurance carriers. Well, the reality is you're not going to lose your free tail if you switch insurance carriers if the new insurance carrier has the same free tail provision. So most of the insurance carriers in the market will require at least one full year of coverage with them. But then if you meet the other criteria, which is you're fully retiring from the practice of medicine, and some of them do have an age requirement, but if you've met those other two requirements, you'll get a free tail from the new company too. So it may not make a difference if you've got a senior doctor that's got, you know, 12 months or more left in practice. If the company you're switching to has the exact same free tail provision, then he's going to earn a free tail with that new company just like he would from the old company. So that's something to consider when you're shopping around. So basically your options are leave the doctor with the other carrier and move everyone else, or move everybody along with the senior doctor, making sure that he can still earn out that free tail with the new carrier that you select. So that's just something you'll want to talk to your agent about. It's obviously a really important deal, especially for your senior doctor. So you'll just want to make sure that everybody is happy with the way that that's resolved, but absolutely doable to get that taken care of. If you have any questions on these topics, or you want to make sure that you're covered appropriately, click the link in the description box below where you can connect with us via phone, email, or chat today. And if you're listening, please visit us online at aegismalpractice.com. That's A-E-G-I-S, malpractice.com. And don't forget to give us a like and please leave a review. Your feedback and support really does help us to reach more people, and we're so grateful for your clicks and your kind words. This is Jennifer Wiggins. Thanks for joining us.